Create Art Podcast. Commentary. Creating Out in the Wild. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Keem O'Brien, your head instigator for Create Art Podcast, where I take my 20-plus years of experience in the arts and education world to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. Before we get started on the episode, I'd like to take a moment to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion. Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights. To learn more about what you can do to help, go to podvoices.help. I encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word. Okay, back to the show. Now, this episode is a continuation of last episode where I was talking about being ready when inspiration strikes. This episode, I'm going to be talking about creating in the wild. So, let's say you're at a coffee shop, on your laptop, or pulling out a sketch pad. What's next? That is what I would like to talk about today. We're going to be exploring common courtesy, dealing with someone looking over your shoulder or asking questions, and how to maximize your time in order to get that initial inspiration back to your workspace. So let's go ahead and start off with common courtesy. I know, if it were truly common, I wouldn't have to talk about it. But unfortunately, that's the way it is. You know, should you go to the local coffee shop and dump your tools on a table, put on your headphones, and get to work? Heck no. These are places of business, not your studio. Now, for me, I like going to coffee shops, bookstores, heck, even restaurants to get in public and experience things I wouldn't be able to do in my workspace. But here's the thing. I go in with the mindset that I'm going to a business and using my time at a table that they can turn and make money off of, you know, for the next person. Now, if, you know, there's a new coffee shop in town, I go in simply as a customer first to get the feel of the place. You know, would it be a good place to work? Is there a waitress that needs to turn the tables quickly and make tips? Is it quiet? Is it loud? These are things you need to really think about before turning a shop into your quote-unquote studio, which you shouldn't do. It's not your studio. Now, I have, you know, good friends in the service industry, and in some places, it's fine. Others, it's frowned upon. If you are unsure after your first or second visit, hey, just ask. You know, back in the days before Starbucks, most local coffee shops and, you know, bars were the places where many artists meet up and talk shop and even created works. Now that changed, and many national and regional chains have frowned upon this practice. And with COVID still being as active as it is, many places don't even want you to sit there and enjoy your drink. They want you in and then out. Be understanding, because first and foremost, it's their place. You may feel an affinity for it, but always keep in mind, if you decide to be rude, they're going to kick you out. You do not have any sacred rights to be there. There are plenty of places to go create your work in public. You know, you can go to parks, museums come to mind. Heck, I've even sat at an outdoor train station during commute times to create. Each place, I treat it as a temporary workstation and clean up my area and move quickly in case the place is slammed with people. In your locale, there may be regulations that discourage people from congregating in an area due to traffic or prevent crime. You know, no one is saying that you're going to go pickpocket people, but you'd be surprised at how many people are out there, you know, just waiting to steal a wallet or a laptop. Make sure that you pack as light as you can and, you know, not valuable things, as you may need to move out of the area quickly. You know, I don't paint in public because it can be messy. At least I'm messy. And I usually need a lot of paper towels, and I have, you know, brushes and canvases. So it makes no sense for me to bring all those things out when I can take a picture or I can sketch something quickly that I'll paint later on in my studio. And I can replace a notebook or a pen easily without, you know, crying over the financial loss of that. But I can't replace my laptop or recording equipment that costs hundreds of dollars. Also, think about the mess that you create when you work and how much space you need to comfortably work. A sketcher or a notebook only requires pen, paper, and something hard to write on. You know, we all have cell phones that have great cameras on them, so a quick snapshot that can be sent to your email and opened on your laptop at home is more effective than getting kicked out of your favorite coffee shop. Also, think about the weather. If you're out in the park and it starts to rain, well, there goes your painting. The world may be your studio, but not private businesses. Besides, I like playing music when I'm creating something, and I like to, you know, stretch and walk around and grab some water or go to the bathroom whenever I want to. If in doubt, ask. If there is no one to ask, then check your local arts council and see if they have any connections in your area. Last resort, go to your local library and quietly and quickly and cleanly create your art. Now on to the next step. Let's say you've gone to your favorite coffee shop. Why not ask them if they'd be interested in hosting a creator night? Now, my favorite local coffee shop here in Fredericksburg has done just that, one night a month. Usually on a quiet night, the shop hosts a painter's night where artists gather around, buy drinks. It's important because that's, you know, it's a business, and make art in their upper lounge. When I first started going to coffee shops back in the 90s in Texas, of all places, good old Abilene, the shop there had a painter who would set up shop in a corner and only take up one table and order drinks the entire time he was there. Or somebody would order drinks for him. I did that a few times. It was great business because you could see the progression of the work of each of his paintings. And I bought a few when I left Texas. So I want you to do something like that. You know, get the feel of the shop and make it profitable for the owner and be prepared to hear the word no. That doesn't mean you fight about it or storm out and never come back again. You try later or refer the shop owner to this podcast and I'll tell them, hey, they should probably do this. The thing is, you want to form a long-lasting relationship with the shop. And this may turn into your first gallery showing. The coffee shop I attend now and the one I attended in the 90s do commissions. And at the very least, you're going to develop a relationship with your audience when you create your work there in that coffee shop. This leads me to talk about the benefits of creating out in the wild. So, you're out there painting, sketching, writing, whatever your discipline is, and you have the blessing of the owner and you are, you know, showing common courtesy by not disturbing other patrons. Everything is going great and you feel someone looking over your shoulder or they make disapproving sounds. First and foremost, remember a few things. Everyone has an opinion and they're entitled to it. When they're expressing their opinion, that's fine. They don't know your journey or your style or work process, so they're probably confused. While you're not an employee of the shop, you are tangentially representing the shop. Don't snap at them, even if you have a short fuse. Just know that this is going to happen and it shall pass, like a kidney stone. What they don't have a right to do is take up your tools, you know, take them out of your hand or your painting or drawing, damaging any of your work, or verbally attacking you. If you have the permission to be there, you are covered. If they don't like the art, that's fine. It's only words, and just let it flow off, you know, like water off the duck's back. A way to avoid this is by wearing headphones. You could also set up a little sign simply that states, "Please do not disturb." Now, if someone is going to be an ass, they're going to be an ass everywhere. For me, it's a bit easier because, well, I'm a bigger person and I have several tattoos on my arms. So people usually don't approach me. If you don't want to get the tattoos, which, you know, I think you should, but if you don't want to get tattoos all over your arms, then I would say just ignore the rude people and eventually, you know, they're going to leave. Now, and just realize too that, you know, some people just get their kicks and, hey, isn't that sad? If you give them no ammo or acknowledgement, they will go away. But if they don't go away, then bring the staff member into the situation. And a lot of times, you know, if you're a fixture in that coffee shop or wherever you're at, the owner and the employees want to have you around, then they'll go ahead and correct the situation and, you know, either seat you in a different spot or have the other person leave. Now, you know, conversely, by creating out in the wild, this can bring you, you know, clients and build your audience. Now, if somebody asks about your work, I would have a business card handy. Or if you have a website, make it easy to remember. You know, like Create Art Podcast. Real easy to remember. You could have a button or a sticker or a pen and that has your brand on it and ready to hand out. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to bring a huge sign and put it on your table unless the owner says it's okay. Also, you want to be graceful when people compliment your work. You know, nothing turns off someone off more than an artist who seems to think that they're better than everyone or dramatizes an interruption. Trust me, you are not that special. I mean, you're special because you're listening to this podcast, but you're not that special. You do have the time to talk with a potential audience member or better yet, a client. Plus, if you don't want to be disturbed, then why the heck did you come out in public? Get over the being disturbed thing. You're not a hermit. There are times when, you know, you do need to be alone with your thoughts and do your work. But then there are times when you need to connect with the outside world and show a work in progress. Okay, now you've done some of the work out in the coffee shop or wherever you are. You know, you want to keep that mojo going on when you get back to your studio. Now, many of you already have a smartphone. Some of you don't have, you know, smartphones. You have stupid phones, but most phones, they can take a picture and take a place of where you're creating. And if possible, take a picture of the object that inspired you. You know, make note of any music playing or other sounds and try to recreate that moment in your studio. Now, for me, when I first started going to coffee shops, I heard John Coltrane's My Favorite Things. So when I'm in my studio slash man cave, I put on Coltrane or other jazz that I'm interested in. I look at where I left off in the work that I was doing and make a pot of coffee and just relax for a few minutes and let my mind go back to the coffee shop where I was working at. Now, I usually try to spend as much time in the coffee in the studio as I spend at the coffee shop. So, you know, usually less than 2 hours working on a project at the coffee shop means less than 2 hours in my studio. I want to recreate the session if it was successful. Now, if it wasn't successful and only you can determine what success is, then I just take whatever scraps I have and put myself in that mood. When you come back to the studio, make sure you document all the things that happened in the wild. You know, how much time it took. Were there interruptions? Did you hand out a card? What music was playing that you were listening to? You know, all those details are going to be important to you. And think of it this way. You want to be able to recreate successful working conditions, not only artistically, but also in developing relationships with others. Think of it this way. If you are in good terms with the shop owner and staff, you already have clients in the making. Also, they can be your voice piece when you're not in the shop. I would seriously consider giving them first pick on works you create and then giving them a good discount. You know, food service doesn't pay much. And the owners, if they're independent, you know, shop owners, are not raking in the cash usually. Now, if someone comes in and likes the paintings that you have left out in the shop, even if they're not for sale, that owner or staff member will, you know, talk you up. And if you have business cards, you know, left behind, they'll make sure that you get in contact with them. So don't necessarily measure success by how much work you get done. Keep this aspect in mind and build out those relationships. Now, before I get to my final thoughts about this episode's topic, I researched an article that I believe sums up everything I just talked about nicely. In Writing Cooperative's blog post entitled Why You Need to Stop Hiding Your Art and Practice in Public, they mention 5 reasons why you should be out there making art in the wild. First reason is that we all need practice. And I know this is true for me. I need all the practice I can get, especially, you know, if I'm feeling stagnant in my current place where I'm practicing. You know, maybe a change of scenery is what you need. And if you know my paintings, you know that I paint like a 4-year-old on crack. Their second point is, we all need to share. Now, I know that you're wanting to share your work with the world. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. But the world won't necessarily be coming to your studio. So go to them. Bring the work from out of the dark and into the light. And maybe you'll find a client or your audience or maybe even a mentor or a colleague to share your ideas and work with. The third point builds on the second point where we need to be discoverable. If you are out there, you will meet people and develop relationships, good or bad, hopefully good. And maybe, you know, you just discover how you can be more discoverable. Let's say everybody at the shop is using Instagram and you aren't. Well, maybe you need to learn more about that tool and put it into your craft. The fourth point is we need to show that we're serious. And I think by making, you know, those connections with others in your area does show that you are, you know, being serious about your artwork. It does pay dividends in your relationship building. If you know, you know, if they know where you are and you're continually working towards a goal, then they're more likely to approach you and find out more about your work. The last point is this is going to build your audience. Now, if people know where you are and that you aren't so precious as not to be disturbed, then they're going to seek you out and share their work with you as you share your work with them. I think we all heard of artists, you know, giving the fans cold shoulder more than we've heard of an artist really taking an interest into their audience. But when we hear of those stories, then we view the artist in a more favorable light. Be, you know, be that artist consistently, and your audience will be your mouthpiece. So my final thoughts on this episode's topic, creating out in the wild, I think that it can be refreshing to be out there, and it can help you develop those relationships that you need to get your work out to your audience. It can help you find your audience and help them find you. Treat where you work as if you're an invited guest, and remember your manners. These trips out into the wild can be productive if you keep your focus on the goal that you set for yourself. Give it a try and let me know if it works for you. Now, if you got something out of this episode, I'd ask you to please go ahead and share it with a friend. It may be just what they need to hear. Now, if you have questions about the show, feel free to reach out to me and tell me what you're working on in your neck of the woods. You can email me at timothy@createartpodcast.com. And if you'd like to be on the show, go ahead and reach out. I would love to feature your work on my show. If you like the podcast, then check out my other podcast, Find a Podcast About. It helps you find your next binge-worthy podcast and outsmart the algorithm. And you can find that at findapodcastabout.xyz. I also run a podcast called Clearly Obtuse, which is where I explore what an avant-garde podcast would sound like. And you can find that at clearlyobtuse.com. So go out there and be influenced by your favorite artist, tame that inner critic, create more than you consume. Go out there in the wild and create some art for somebody you love, yourself. Until next time.